Good evening. Welcome to the show. This is Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Heard right here five nights a week, Monday through Friday, 9 p.m. until midnight. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, along with me, Tim Dennis. This evening, we are looking at communicating with the other side. Possible new technologies melded with old-time popular tools. Can this, in fact, make a better communication? Are we making the next step? We're talking with our guests this evening, Shankar Singham, Kerry Isaacs, and Karen Dahlman. Before we go back to them, we do have a phone call. We'll take Roberta. Roberta in San Antonio, Texas, welcome to the show. And what did you want to say?
Hi, thank you. I used to do the Ouija board with Karen back in the day when we lived in San Marcos, Texas. And you had made a comment in the show earlier about whether the lower vibration might be an unborn fetus. And one of the comments that I would like to make is that not, like when we think about unborn fetuses, is that not all fetuses would necessarily be a lower vibration, because we're all vibrating at different rates. It's just dependent on our evolution of our spirit and our soul.
But wouldn't it depend on where in the evolution of the fetus's development would be to what level of vibration they would be able to attain as well?
Right. It, you know, a lot of children coming in now are very bright and very psychic in their own way. They have a way of knowing things, and so their rate of vibration would be a little bit higher because they're more conscious and more spiritually aware and awakened than, let's say, someone else just coming in, maybe a new soul or an old soul.
All right. Well, thank you for weighing in on that, Roberta. I always appreciate another piece of input. I don't know, Tim, this whole belief that the new generation is coming in higher and more evolved and more intelligent, I don't know that I'm buying it. I see more ignorance and stupidity amongst kids and teenagers and the youth now than I've ever seen. I mean, when my, you know, and my kids are among them as well. I mean, everybody wants to say their children are bright. My kids can do some things amazing and are intelligent in their own way. But you send them outside to play and they stand there staring at each other like they've just been placed on this planet with no idea what to do.
I see a higher form of intelligence as far as being able to work things mechanical and whatnot. But then you also see...
But we're starting them earlier. If your mom and dad would have given you a tablet at the age of two or three and you'd start messing around with those, you'd probably start picking up on these things quicker. Plus, I don't know if they were pumping as much steroids and chemicals into the food when we were growing up, you know, that can help. I mean, listen, when a baby is premature, the first things they do is they start loading that mom up with steroids. Why? To develop that baby faster, quicker, to give them lung capacity, brain capacity, help that heart muscle develop more. And we're constantly ingesting these massive doses of chemicals and steroids and compounds that they're pushing into foods.
Right, but what I was going to say is they're coming in with a different part of their consciousness already being higher, but they're not so much focused on what we call common sense. I guess they're lacking a certain part of their personality, soul, being. But as far as mental function, I think their mental function is much higher than what we're at. I mean, you talk about math, statistics, English function. I think they function at a much higher rate than we do as far as that goes, those types of functions. But when you talk about common sense, courtesy, functions of society, of working within a societal dynamic, I don't think they function as well at that at all. I think they work very well on a singular basis.
Yeah, I don't know
basis.
If that's an evolutionary thing, though, or is that just because we as humans have become more distant to one another and separate over the last 20 years because of technology? And instead of parenting our children, we're setting them in front of TVs and tablets and computer screens and allowing, you know, technology to teach our children. And I know this sounds like we're going off on a tangent, but stick with us. We'll bring this back around as we talk about communication, because I do find that, you know, as we're talking tonight with our guests and trying to find ways to breach the chasm between this life and another life, it does seem to me that we spend more time now focused on trying to communicate with what comes next than we do in trying to communicate with what's going on around us now and understanding how to make that cohesive again. And, you know, coming from different generations and different levels, I mean, Karen, where do you stand on something like that? As you see this, you know, do you see with this new evolutionary glut of people wanting to be ghost hunters and paranormal investigators and spiritualists and mediums and psychics, and there's just this overwhelming need and want to communicate elsewhere, are we forgetting what's right next to us?
Well, you attempted so much, and there are so many things, so many comments I have to make, as you probably already can guess, like I have a lot of comments to make. First of all, I want to say that was Roberta. I knew her back when we used to do the Ouija board and talk to her higher selves, and so she's a great light worker, and so I appreciate her calling in. But I have to agree with there is a level of consciousness that comes in. The level of consciousness, I'm going to agree with what Tim was saying, and then the toxicities in our environment, whether it's the parenting or whether it's the schools, whether it's I don't want to blame things. I really don't, because it's a combination of, like you said, the GMOs, the steroids, the RBST, all this stuff that's in our foods and environment. I think it affects us and influences us. Now, to address the part about everybody wanting to do this talk to what's beyond instead of what's right here, the reason why I talk to what's beyond is so I get more clarity, clarification of how large my world really is and how I'm really connected to everything. Thus, it takes me back to realize that I am connected to everybody here on this planet, to understand that it's not, we really have to help each other move forward. And I think this wakes us up as we begin to understand what happens with our life and that there's a responsibility we have to take with it. There's people call it karma. I'm just going to say just a self-responsibility. And doing this paranormal work, I think, lets people see that more and more. That we have the responsibility, the energy to communicate with. They're because of responsibility to the information you receive. As you start doing this work more and more, you start to evolve, you start to open up, and especially if you do it on a spiritual level, and I hate to use a canned word, on a level of trying to understand yourself, a relationship to your world, that is where change happens. This is the beauty of doing this work. So I think it's awesome that people are out there to really trying to approach how big the world really is and all these possibilities, and I just hope people are just, you know, doing it with respect, and reverence when you move into other energies. And that's the same as a child being born. We really need to respect that soul, and it's really important, you know, to have healthy diets and all these things that we can do to support that. And if we don't, we can see what happens to our minds. We can see what happens to our hearts. We can see what happens in our world. We can look around and see all these shootings and these brutal killings. And God, the dolphin thing really got to me the other day. I had to post it on my Facebook. It's just horrible, brutal stuff that we do. And it's because we don't look outside of ourselves. We need to look outside of ourselves and really understand the bigger picture of the world, why we're here, why we're with people, and what it's really about. I mean, spirits tell me it's really about learning to love yourself, thus you can love others. That's what they tell me.
Shankar, you have developed what's old is new again, and taking the spiritualist tool of the Ouija board and coupling it with current technology to try to broaden the communication spectrum. What I'm curious about is, with the experiments that you do, and I'll throw this experiment out to you and Karen and to Carrie and see if this is something you've considered doing or something that you can do, and maybe we can revisit this in a few months down the line. But I think it's safe to say we all agree that consciousness supersedes our physical form. Are we on the same base with that?
Yeah.
Okay. So for people that are having trouble communicating with one another or their children, wouldn't it be interesting to do work with the board? Dave's having trouble with his children. He's having trouble communicating. They're having trouble understanding and assimilating the information that, you know, parents and children share. And there's always that chasm and wall. What if during a sleep cycle for the children, we try to communicate with the consciousness of the children and see if we can you know, we talk about mediums talk about the dream realm and how it's easier for spirits to make communication to us through that and to make themselves known. Maybe if we're able to reach the consciousness on that elevated level and try to direct communication, we can have a direct influence on people that are living around us and might be able to make an impact that way. And I'll start real quickly with you, Karen. Have you ever tried to make communication with someone in a sleep state as opposed to coma, you know, or brain damaged, you know, any of those kind of situations?
Yes, I have. As a matter of fact, I have done that before. And what I do is ask people if I may communicate with their higher self. And a lot of times it comes when they're in their sleep state. And it can come also when they're awake. So really it's an energy. And if we start working with this energy and they're comfortable with that, it's not that it's the board doing anything. It's really the circuitry between the two minds coming, the hearts coming together. And then you do affect change. Just by changing, okay, just by communicating and hearing what somebody has to say, you actually affect what the results are going to be. When people start feeling like they're being heard, then you start feeling like you're being respected. That starts changing. That starts changing, making things get a little better, easier, let's say, between the parent and the child. And I have done it with also people in coma as well. But I've done people that are alive, that are either sleeping or their higher self speaks to me, and it's only if they allow me to do that. And yes, change happens because of that. To me, it's very therapeutic. And I've told you before, and I just do it tongue in cheek. It's not a real thing, but I call it Ouija therapy because it does make people change. And even just working with your higher self, when you talk to your higher self, it's that oversoul part of you, the part that always knows, that's connected back to the divine. If you want to call it source, connected back to that universal source, whatever you want to call that. When you talk to that, that's the part of you that knows. And being in touch with that actually allows you to get into more of your knowing and understanding. Then you start changing the way you behave around people. Then you find you have a responsibility to really treat your child differently or to treat yourself differently. And that in itself will affect people around you. It's the unseen thing, again, that I think can affect us the most. So why not go explore that and understand how to work with it?
Carrie, when you were working on building a board like this with Shankar, were you interested in trying to do different styles of communication like this, or was it mainly to try to just bridge the chasm between life and death and where we go next and getting the information from that side?
I think initially it just started with the age-old question. Yeah, we just wanted to find out what happened after this life. And that was our main intent, and just trying to find a way to pair up our EVPs and other evidence we found just doing the regular stuff, and just a way to further our evidence and to try to expand upon it. And but now after talking to Karen, we've found that there's much more available to us, and so we're just very open to it and going outward from here.
Let's take another break. Before we do that, we've got two more copies of Riddick on Blu-ray and DVD, don't we, Tim?
Yeah, we do.
All right, well, why don't we do this for our listeners? We'll go ahead and we'll take callers number 6 and 7. If you'd like to get a copy of Riddick on Blu-ray and DVD, now out and available. You can't have won in the last 30 days. We will take your name, phone number, address, blood sample, firstborn, and then we will get out a copy of Riddick on Blu-ray and DVD to you. What was a little smattering you have to share with the people, Tim? What's the little...
A little smattering?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Are you new to this job, son?
My deal,
yeah, your spiel.
My script, my yeah. Moment in the sun, Dave. A winner, the winner of the prize, will receive a copy of Riddick on Blu-ray DVD, The Director's Cut, Dave. Global action superstar Vin Diesel reprises his breakthrough role in Riddick, the much-anticipated new chapter in the epic adventures of the most wanted man in the universe. You can't have won in the last 30 days. Promotions will mail that Blu-ray DVD director's cut out to you.
All right, so go ahead and be the 6th and 7th caller at 651-989-5855. 651-989-5855 to get your copy of Riddick on Blu-ray and DVD right now. listening. Welcome back to the show. This is Darkness Radio, your home for the best in paranormal talk radio, 5 nights a week, Monday through Friday, 9 p.m. till midnight. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. This evening, we're discussing communicating with the other side. Our guests for the evening, Sean Kersingham, Carrie Isaacs, and Karen Dahlman. Shankar is the author of Hunting the Dead Realm, A Testimony and Guide to Capturing the Other Side. And Karen Dahlman, a recurrent guest on our show, is the author of two fantastic books, The Spirit of Creativity and The Spirits of Ouija. You can find more information on her website at KarenADahlman.com. And she has a special for our listeners for the next 24 hours. If you buy one or both books, you can save 25% by going directly to her website, and she'll autograph them for you as well. If you can't remember the name, just go to darknessradio.com, click on our guests tab, and you'll find tonight's guests links there. You can go right to Karen's website, order her books in the next 24 hours. That's good for you podcast listeners, too. Make sure you do it in the next 24 hours and save 25% off the cover of her books right now. We are talking about different forms of communication. You've got this new Ouija 2.0 that Carrie and Shankar have created. Now, have you just married basically a standard Ouija board with a K2 meter for like a double verification on communication? Is that the idea behind this?
That's where it started, but then we started adding much more to it. It's in a what I can only describe as like a piano bench, and so the board is on top, and then inside we have an amplification system with an input, so we can do spirit box sessions through it with a SB7 or one of the Radio Shack hacks, or whatever other teams are using, that type of stuff. And we also have a lot of LED lights in there because we wanted to have it shine out a good white light to have good intentions. We didn't want to we were trying to get away from the negative ideas that people had about the Ouija board as well, so we integrated that as well as various religious symbols, and just try to change it up a little bit, and as well as integrating new technology.
Now, working with some of the tools like the K2 meter, the tool certainly was popular for quite a while. There's some major inherent flaws: RF frequencies, people's car remote starters, their garage door openers, sometimes even their cell phones can send off signals and pulses to the K2 meter and create many false positives. How are you working around that so that you know that you're not interfering with your own experiments?
Well, we also have, we've made pumps so we can actually create our own EMF fields, and we've tested them with our K2s and really tested the sensitivity of them compared to our cell phones, our anything else we have in our pockets. We really try to clear the area that we're working in previous to actually to going into the and to our work on the board, so we can make sure everything we're getting is very solid.
Now, when we come back after this next break, I want to get into the initial investigations and techniques that you used with this board. You mentioned that you began contacting a spirit or an energy. Did that energy make itself known right away, and has it been consistent all along with you?
Yeah, this an entity named Zeke comes through.
Now, are you saying like the letter Z, or are you saying like Zeke?
No, Z, like the letter Z. That's all he wants to go by.
Sure.
And he came through forcefully at first, and we weren't sure what to make of it. And then after, oh, man, maybe 2-3 months, he kept coming through intermittently, and we kept answering. His answers were just the strangest answers. We thought he was earthbound, and we asked him how old he was, and he said he was infinite. So at that point, we realized he really wasn't from this realm, and he's actually helped us a lot understanding what it's like on the other side of that realm. And we went to Karen's house to try the station with her, try Ouija 2.0 with her. He finally came through it towards the end of it. And when he came through, once again, the K2 meter in the Ouija 2.0 just started spiking as it usually does when he comes through.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll find out more about this mysterious character Z. Now, this is not a strange phenomena to our show. A character that has made himself known before, calling himself infinite and all-powerful, being very powerful, very forceful on the board, Zozo. I know this is spinning through the minds of many of our longtime listeners and researchers of Ouija board phenomena. We'll find out what our guest's take is on the Zozo phenomena, and could that possibly be the entity that they're communicating with? Stay tuned. More of the best in Paranormal Talk Radio continues right after this. Welcome back to the show. This is Darkness Radio, your home for the best in paranormal talk radio, five nights a week. Tonight, we're talking about Ouija 2.0, communicating with the other side. Our guests for the evening, Karen Dahlman, Sean Kersingham, and Carrie Isaacs are here talking to us about this creation, this new board, this technology that they've created and pieced together, trying to communicate with the other side. Are you familiar with the Zozo phenomena, Shankar?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, Zozo has come through the board when we first started doing it. And when he came through, I was actually kind of excited that finally, you know, this rock star guy came through. And I was like, hey, Zozo, you know, you're world famous. And he replied, yes. And then I asked him for an EVP. I'm like, can you give me an EVP? At that point, he said, no. The planchette moved to no. And then I asked the next question, why not? And he just left. He disappeared. Because I think what he realized was that we weren't scared, and we're in it to try and capture evidence. And at that point, all when there's no fear for him to feed off of, he just left. And it was somewhat disappointing for us as a group. We wanted to really capture some more evidence besides the Ouija of the world famous Zozo than just, you know, a planchette moving across. We wanted to catch his voice. But he left, and he's never returned since. And, I'm familiar with Zozo. Z, on the other hand, is nothing like that. Z has his own personality. He doesn't use the word S. He uses Z instead, the letter Z. So he spells yes, Y-E-Z. And
well, no, hold on.
Words that have an S in it, he'll use a Z. It's kind of his little trademark.
Let me just reel it back for a second. So you get Zozo in, who is this kind of cantankerous dark force energy that's been known to take over conversations on Ouija boards that are not open properly, dealt with properly. And you kind of call him out, hey, you're a rock star, welcome to the board. And you believe in his opinion, he gets frustrated because he's not getting the respect he's due, and he leaves. Now somebody else coming in calls himself Z, kind of same kind of moniker kind of deal here, and calling himself all powerful but giving you a different take. Is there any chance, Karen, they are dealing with the same character, but Zozo is just taking a different tack to mess with these two and keep their intrigue and interest? And essentially what he wants is your attention. And could it not be that Zozo is just leeching these guys for information and to screw with them as well and make them feel like they've got some kind of power?
Well, you know, that's a good question, and I think everybody would want to know the answer to that. And I did, too. When they brought their board over to my home, and we sat down, and I had an opportunity, you know, of course, to use it. I wanted to give it a spin, as I told you. And Z is a whole other level of energy. It's a whole different ball game. And because I'm so used to the planchette and the way the energy feels on the board, I can feel it come through my body. I can feel it in my fingertips. Also, my guys come through, they won't allow that. They will not allow that. So I can say, because I was there. If I heard the story, I wouldn't know, but just being in the presence of using the board and Z coming through and my spirit guides helping Z spell, because he really couldn't spell. It's like he just kept doing Z's all the time. He did words, but it was like intermittent. I think they worked with him a little bit more now. He's starting to spell and he's starting to come through a little differently. But no, I do not believe it at all. It's Mr. Zozo. And Mr. Zozo, I call Mr. Zozo, whatever his name is. Zozo is very interesting. I don't believe it's like evil, but what I think it is, it's a conglomeration of a negative energy that we put out there. I think it's like an archetypal energy, and somehow we tap into that, and our fears breed it, and it comes up and it does all this weird stuff. But I just believe it's more of an energy than an actual real being. So there's different ways to work with that. But no, I this character is so different.
But you have run up against Zozo yourself, though, Karen.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Now how? Yeah. You're professional at this. You put up the walls. You protect yourself.
Yeah,
I'll
tell you.
Yeah, how does that come in?
Okay, so I went to this psychic of all people. Mr. Zozo was attached to her. So he comes back and starts talking to me on the board, and he comes through and he said, Zozo. I mean, I get my communications quickly, and I said, I'm not going to talk with you. And he says, well, I'm a dark force. I'm like, okay, that's nice. My guys are going to take you away. And I said, if you need to leave right now, I said, I know where you came from. And I said, you go back to her. I said, don't, you just go. You leave me. And he left, and I took the board away for that day. I said, I'm not going to do it. And he never came back again. So because I know how to stop it, look, if anything bad happens on a board, put the thing away. Don't do it. It's just so silly to engage with that kind of behavior. I don't do it in real life. If somebody's being rude to me, I just, I'm done. Why engage? Why allow that? So he comes through, he does little tactics. I don't fall prey to it. I don't listen to it. And I put it away. And plus my guys are there, and they put him away too. They help bounce him out of the portal, if you will.
Sean Kerr and Carrie, how many hours a week do you experiment with Ouija 2.0?
We use when we first started, it was once a week, Friday or Saturday, we'd get together. There's about 8 of us. In fact, Director of Operations for Dead Realm Research is here, Andrea.
Hi.
Hi, Andrea. Welcome to the show.
And we would get on the board, and we would have these huge 6-hour sessions, 7-8-hour sessions, till 2-3 in the morning. And we would switch up partners because people would get tired. And that whole time we were getting just garbled messages. We really stuck to yes or no questions. And it was coming at a point where it was just, planing out, where we weren't getting any.
You were spending
it wasn't
six.
Until we talked to Karen.
You were spending six.
And we met with Karen and used her techniques that now the level of the board communication is just stepped up 100-fold. And now we're getting pages of messages. And
so,
let
me get this straight, though. You were spending 6 to 8 hours in a session to make these kind of communications?
Yeah. Six to 8 hours.
What are you doing with all your Dungeons and Dragon books now that you're not using those?
I'm sorry?
I said, what are you doing with all your Dungeons and Dragons books now that you guys don't use those on Friday nights? That's the only people I ever knew that sat around on Friday and Saturday nights doing anything for 6 to 8 hours. I had to assume there was some kind of correlation. When you hear people getting involved in this, Karen, and immersing themselves that deeply into a 6 to 8 hour span doing something like this, can that, in fact, be dangerous for them?
Wears you out, and it wears the spirits out. And so it's one of the things when I first met with them, we talked about, they saw that my sessions are about an hour, hour and a half. I maybe once in a while those 2 hours, my spirits are done. And
but fact, how do you wear out a spirit? Energy is infinite. Energy is infinite.
Well, listen, they get tired of communicating to the board. That's moving energy. They have to work through my energy. They have to work through dimensions. They have to work the frequency. They have to match it. And I don't ask easy questions. We're not doing like, hey, what
right,
we
but
doing?
Aren't we, once we're out of this meat shell, aren't we an infinite energy source? I mean, aren't we plugged into the Akashic Records, into the universe, into past lives, yes. Future lives?
Yes.
It would seem that always bothers me, that how ghosts get or energy gets tired.
Well, you got to remember now, they're using my energy too. So it's a combination of using human energy, which doesn't go on, and not just because they're on the other side, that means they have infinite energy. I think a lot of times too, what I've learned, they want to stop. They want to stop, but they don't want to say too much. that I don't want to give. They want me to think. They want me to go back and they ask me questions. They don't just give me answers. They'll ask me questions too. And they'll say, they'll make me probe my own mind. And in fact, they're working off my energy. So it kind of overloads me and my partner. Now, I tend to be more of an energetic person, but also, I tend to get more of a, get more energized and jazzed when I do this work where my partners don't. So you remember, it's a combination, not just their energy, it's everybody's energy, people in the room. So I shared with them and they saw, when they saw me speak to my friends, they saw that it only lasts so long and then they tell me they're done. They said goodbye, we're done. And in fact, they told me that weekend when I worked with, this group, Shankar's group, I had another session scheduled the next evening, which is kind of rare for me to ever have two back-to-back. And it was because I was an open message circle was being hosted, and they wanted me to come with my partner who was in town to do this with me. And so we went, and the spirits came through for only 30 minutes and said, we are worn out from last night, meaning the whole energy, the connection, the work, the questions, the training, everything we did. So that in itself is, I find it humorous. And they have humor too, but they also think it's time to stop. So where I know Shankar and those guys are, they're doing a lot less now, I think, and they could probably attest to that. But when you learn to do it and get good messages, you don't need to do it that long. You don't need to do it that long. In fact, I recommend maybe an hour sitting, and it might go an hour and a half at the most.
Let's take another break. We'll come back. We'll continue with our guests and find out more about communication, bridging this gap, and the effective methods in which to do so. Stay tuned. More Darkness Radio continues right after this. Welcome back to the show. About time we played a love song on Darkness Radio.
I know, it's a very gentle, tender song about voices.
Disturbed.
Yeah.
The only band that ever deafened me for 3 days.
You did the most insane thing I've ever seen anybody do at a concert.
I didn't do it on purpose. They brought us over to, what was it?
We went over to Myth here in town.
And they gave us seats.
We went to the VIP section. We went to a concert unknowingly as part of Conclave here in town.
A friend of VIP, us apparently us, yeah. Very ignorant people.
Right.
Because they stood me directly next to a bank of speakers.
But you went up to it.
It felt good. It vibrated the inside of my ears and it itched them.
And
it
ladies and gentlemen,
deep.
When I say he went up to it, he went up to it. He put his ear against a bank of fully loaded rock speakers that are going at about 110, 120,
million
I don't know.
Yeah. Decibels.
About as loud as a airliner taking off. And put his ear against it and said it felt good.
It did. It shook stuff up. That's all I'll say.
Oh. And it sounded like this.
No, turn it down. This is what it sounded like afterwards for days in my head. No kidding. This is all I heard.
Okay.
For days.
Yeah.
When people would talk to me, I would hear. I could not hear for days after that concert.
There's a reason for that. You put your ear up to a jetliner.
I have 7 kids. I'm wondering when Disturbed's going to be back in town again. I need tickets. Let's get back to the show. You know, you don't have to be bright to have a radio show. That's obvious, Karen. You just heard me admit to blowing out my eardrums to Disturbed music. But trying to understand, you know, the communication and doing what you guys do, you know, I'm getting inundated. My mailbox literally is overflowing with, you know, damn the Ouija and how stupid can people be? And these morons don't know what they're talking about. Of course, it's messing with them and toying with them. And it's Zozo. It's so obvious to all of us on this side. And they're too close to this and they're being manipulated. Now, just for poops and grins here, let's hear what kind of evil machinations Z is giving you? What type of tips and hints for world destruction in the messages that you're getting, Carrie? Can you address that for us?
Here, I'll address it.
So did Carrie quit on us? Did Carrie go home?
Carrie's
napping on the couch.
Yeah, well, poor Carrie.
I was over here. He more or less he addresses just pretty much anything from questions regarding past loved ones. We've been able to contact people of that sort through him. It's just like any other spirit. He just seems to be at a lesser level than some of the higher spirits that we've learned about through Karen, or more. I don't know if higher or more powerful what the term would be. But he definitely has been able to guide us to people we wanted to find through the board.
Andrea will explain a little bit more.
You said about evil machinations.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously I'm being somewhat
he doesn't like the Dodgers.
Goofy and ironic. Well, who does? It's not the 80s.
Yeah, I mean, it's not. There's not anything that we. You get a feeling, and of course, going back to the 8-hour sessions, it wasn't all on the board. It was figuring out what to do because, again, we made this board, and it's the first of its kind, and we didn't know what was going to happen. So there's a lot of precautions taken. And actually, there because of all the taboo, when you're kids, you're like, don't mess with Ouija, don't mess with the Ouija, don't mess with the Ouija. And there was a little bit of fear in that where we're like, okay, we don't know where we're going, so let's hope for the best. But there hasn't been any negative connotation. Like, we don't bring anything home. Like, there's nothing. When we go to our own residential domiciles, you know, after we break up from here, there's nothing that follows us home. There's not things that are hovering in midair and crashing and dark dreams telling have demons saying they're going to kill us. We take our kids to school on Monday, and, you know, we come back here like every couple of weeks just to it's a research thing. So for everybody who's saying that we're stupid or we're morons, you know, nothing bad has happened. We take all the precautions that we need to. We're very respectful in what we do, and we come in with no fear, and I think that's a big, big thing. People go mess with the Ouija board because they're scared and they want to see things and they don't know anything right about it, and they're going in with blinders on there. Oh, this is going to be totally fun, and then it ends up they think it's going to be like Paranormal Activity, and then they're either disappointed or they're scared out of their mind. So
I got to say, you have to have zero fear going into this, and even in any part of paranormal and doing paranormal work, you got to have zero fear to get into it, because this is what they feed off of, is when you're scared, it's reaction. So going into it, zero fear, open heart, goodness, and nothing will happen. You'll grow spiritually, and Karen can attest to that. And that's what we've learned from her, especially.
Definitely.
All right. Now, Karen, communicating and opening this bridge, you've shown them that they can do it more concisely, more effectively, and get better messages. If people are leaving the board open longer, is that when you, as your energy is wearing out, the spirit's energy is wearing out, your guide's energy is wearing out, is that when... that's when danger can start to occur. That's when you can start opening yourself to negativity.
No, not necessarily. I would say if you're unexperienced, yes. So I'm going to say yes, you could. If you're unexperienced, your fear will get the best of you, and you'll start bringing in negative energy. That's just in life in itself. Just walking around, if you're fearful, you're going to tend to bring more fearful events to you. So what I want to say, though, is when you're using it, you always need to use it in a way that you open it and a way that you close it. It's like going in your house, open a door, and at night you lock the door and you close it. You don't let everybody in, and you close it so you have your space. So it's respecting the space you're going into, but also respecting it and leaving it and going back to your space. You enter the sacred and you come back to the secular. So that helps you in itself to like as Andrea said, you know, go back to your lives, take your children to school, go back home, eat your dinner. I mean, you've got to close the space, people. I'm just gonna say for everybody out there, it's super important that you close the space when you're done. And the other thing is give thanks. Give thanks to the energy that's trying so hard to communicate through. And even when something comes through that's lost, and that, to me that's not negative. They're just lost like people are in life. I will thank it for its communication with me, and I will do everything I can if it wants to be helped to help it. That's it. You know, you just really have to stay on those principles as you would in your regular life.
Now that you guys have had a chance to be more succinct and going for these communications, how would you say from when you started to where you are now, how much more direct and concise are the messages that you're getting?
They've improved 300% after meeting with Karen.
Reading pages and sentences and full on paragraphs at times. Incorporating her techniques with the board has just really just increased everything beyond what we even knew was capable.
Our goal right now is with these messages and with the energy is to try to manipulate our equipment that we have, be it K2, be it, you know, our digital recorders, try to hone that spirit energy into that equipment and see some sort of evidence that is actual, that's based on cause and effect. Can you make the K2 spike? Yes. On the Ouija, K2 spikes. That's what the goal is.
Now, are you getting EVP that corresponds with the messages that are coming through the board?
Yes. You want to take it, Andrea?
Well, let's take a break here. We're right at the top of the hour. Andrea, you can cover that more when we come back as we continue with our communicating on the other side. We'll also open up phone lines if you have questions for any of our guests, Sean Kersingham, Carrie Isaacs, Andrea, or Karen Dahlman, and you'd like to know more about communication, Ouija board, opening yourself up to this dynamic. Call in at 651-989-5855, 651-989-5855. Stay tuned. The best in paranormal talk radio has another hour heading right your way right after this.